You're listening to TPV Virtual Radio. It's live right now on the Psalmist Voice on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice, the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
What's up, everybody? This is John and Sequoia Howard of the Agape Music Group.
Hey, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Let's get it.
Let's go!
What's good, radio family? It's your boy, The Psalmist Voice. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network keeps getting hotter, and we have that Holy Ghost smoke just for you. Sundays, it's the return of TPV Rebirth with yours truly, The Psalmist Voice, at 2 p.m. Central. Followed by Mondays, Indie Fam Nation, exclusively on Clubhouse at 8:15 a.m. Tuesdays, Victory Over the Weights of Life with author and speaker Deanne Lubrin at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministries with Apostle Dr. Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5:15 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, the hottest interview on the planet, the exclusive interview with yours truly, The Psalmist Voice, by booking only. Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by The Locker Room with Coach D every second and fourth Saturday at 4 p.m. Look us up on Facebook, also on Twitter, and our YouTube channel, The Psalmist Voice Radio Network, and walk with us, family. Let's go!
And you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go.
It is the Spin Award nominated Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPV Radio.
It's the Spin Award nominated Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPB Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everybody is doing fine on this fine Saturday afternoon. Hope everybody is feeling well and going forward in the power of God. This is an awesome day to be alive. This is an awesome day to be aware of God's moving upon the earth at this time. This is an awesome day to carry the message of the glorious gospel. This is an awesome day to recognize that we can do everything in God and nothing alone. An awesome and powerful message to carry in our lives. Good afternoon, Pastor Chris. How you be this day?
I already put the message out there that we better make sure that the fire alarm system is working, because I believe today's show is going to bust the devil's head wide open. And that's what I got.
A smart man, I say. Well, we want to welcome the chef to the show, because a restaurant ain't worth a hill of beans if the chef can't cook. Now, I need an amen on that, Pastor Chris. I think that'll preach right
amen.
There.
Amen. Hallelujah.
A restaurant. Now, I understand this. I do understand, Pastor Chris, that when you first come in, the greeter has an important job to greet the people and make them feel welcome, because otherwise they may turn around and go back. But let me put a disclaimer with that. You can be a rude greeter if the reputation, the cook in the house, is good. They'll say, you know what, I'm going to report them to the manager, but I don't care what they say. I'm going to get me some of this. Hello, somebody.
Uh-oh.
So now, we have the chef in the house, and our hands have flour on it. And that's a good sign, because a cook that ain't got dirty hands, no kitchen material, dirty hands now, you might not have a good cook. Hey, chef.
Good morning, good afternoon. Yes. The apron's on, it's all flowered up. I'm ready to go.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
He done put the fire up, turned the fire up high. So I'm ready.
Okay.
We're going to burn right. Some things today.
You know, sis, I got something to say as soon as we welcome. I believe Tree, she with us today?
Yes, sir. Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Here.
Hey, girl, you see they trying to serve something real
fast. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. But you see they starting stuff early in the game.
Early.
I don't believe we're going to be able to hold them back today, Chief. We usually can hold them down pretty good, but I think today we just don't even waste our time trying to hold them back. Go ahead on and loose them and let them go.
Let them go.
Yeah. Did Tiana get on, Pastor Chris?
No, she's not on as yet.
Okay. Okay, she has some things going. She does child care in the state of Texas, and she had a child that she was at the bedside at the hospital with when I spoke with her earlier, so I didn't know whether she was going to get on or not. But, guys, I looked at 90 Psalms, the 90th division of Psalms, and today I kind of had an example. When we look at 90, beginning at the first verse, it says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And the second verse says, before the mountains was brought forth or ever, Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou God. And I thought about this first verse where it talks about He's been our dwelling place. Oh, Sister Treat, I'm burning up inside. I started thinking about when we were in our wilderness. I ain't talking about when we was at the palace. I didn't go there. Go back, visit the wilderness, and think about this scripture. God has been our dwelling place all the time. He's always made himself available to us to come and lay our heads in his bosom, to come and to just take a rest, to come and have our eyes open, to come and have our hearts mended. Hey, is this getting good to anybody but me? In the wilderness, you know, in that place where people don't like you and they let you know it. I ain't talking about where they don't like you and they hide it. I'm talking about that wilderness, that real wilderness where they tell you, I don't like you. You ain't did nothing to me. I don't like you. I don't like to see you coming, and I don't even like to see you leaving. I really just don't want to see you. So in that type of wilderness, God has been our dwelling place. Now, let me go a little further because this where I'm at today. I'm talking about that wilderness where that person that was in your life that made your heart sing, that person that was in your life that put the twinkle in your eye, and all of a sudden that person now is your greatest hater. Ooh, I'm talking about the wilderness. Ooh, girl, I'm talking about the wilderness. I ain't talking about going to the mall today. No, I've been to the mall. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the wilderness. I'm talking about when you lay down in your bed that used to give you so much comfort, but now no matter how good that pediatric mattress is, you tossing and you turning, and you got to keep flipping your pillow. Guess why you got to keep flipping your pillow, guys? Because that side has gotten wet. And I don't mean you were drooling. I mean you were crying. Yes, yes, you was crying on your pillow, and it got uncomfortable, so you had to flip it over. And it got so bad, guys, that you had to go get this other side pillow and start flipping that and try to let that other one dry out some. I'm talking about a wilderness. I'm talking about finding out for myself that when I was in my wilderness, God said he was my dwelling place. Oh, my God. Sister Tree, where you at? You have been in the wilderness, Sister Tree.
Boy, yes, I have. I have. And you know what? It's so interesting because in that wilderness experience, you know, that's when you felt God the most. You know, because you didn't have anyone or anything else to lean on. And, you know, we use the term haters, you know, but I've learned, because there's some people, the scenario that you spoke of, there were some people in my life that I thought I had put in a certain place and position in my life. And those were people that I thought were lifetimers, but I didn't realize that their assignment in my life was seasonal. And so when they started to speak ill will or do things contrary to what I would have thought they would have done toward me, I had to go to God. And I was like, Lord, why are they hating on me? God answered and said, it's not that they're hating on you. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you went through. And they don't know how to get to where you are. So it's not that they're haters. It's just that they're ignorant to the path that has been paved before them. They're looking at you thinking, how did she get there? How did he get there? But it's not about that. And they want to be where you are, but it's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about us showing them during that time, there is nothing special about me. It's nothing but God's love. That's why I am where I am and how I got here, because I stayed the course with God. I messed up along the way, but I knew that I could not let him go. So, yes, the wilderness experience of having people turn their back on you, having people leave you all alone when you thought you could call on them and depend on them, that's a very familiar place.
That's awesome. I like the way you express that. And what I like about God, he tailor makes our discussions with him. Like he said that way to you. And then today when I was out walking this morning, I was thinking about my past and how a lot of people really just won't let you outgrow it. You know, some people are still standing there. I had a conversation with my son on today, and he was kind of rude to me, as a matter of fact. And I didn't get into my flesh today. Thank you, Jesus. I just shared with him. I had fixed him some food, and he was saying, well, you know, I don't have to have your food. I can Google food. And I told him, I said, yeah, son, you can. You can Google whatever you want to, and it may taste better than mine. I said, there's an ingredient in mine that's not in there. And he said, what is that? I said, a mother's love. I said, one thing about you, son. I said, I love you. And I said, when I'm preparing your food, I'm preparing it with mother's love. I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, let his life go right. Let him have a better life. I said, so you can go Google that and come back and talk to me. Chef, I know you got something to say. So we're going to loose you before we let Pastor Chris go, because I know Pastor Chris got matches and gasoline, and he's a little boy with that kind of stuff. So go ahead, Chef. What do you think about this wilderness conversation on today?
Yeah, that wilderness conversation, being in the wilderness, for me, it's a good spot for me, because in
okay.
my wilderness, when I'm going through, I draw closer and I get quiet,
mm-hmm.
and I listen. I begin to listen. And then listen, he said, you know, in that verse it says, you have been my dwelling place. Have you
mm-hmm.
been my home? See, the dwelling place is the home where you stay. And
right.
a home is supposed to be a place of peace and rest. So when I get in that place, I get in that place of peace and rest. Even though everything else is chaotic, you know, my best time is when I'm in that wilderness, when things are going bad, because that's my secret place where I get with the one that knows all things and the one that can help me. Because otherwise, you know, when things are going pretty good, we tend to kind of leave him out there. You know, we pray
that's
a little
true.
Bit.
Mm-hmm.
We praise a little bit. But when we get in that wilderness, oh, we can call on him. We can call on
mm-hmm.
him because ain't nobody else. Because he said, I've been your dwelling place. I've been
mm-hmm.
your home from generation to generation. So the other
mm-hmm.
places we go is not home. That's why there's no rest.
Mm.
Preach.
Now, you know what? You, I'm going to need you today to be on your game. I need that authorship going on today. Because I know the chef is full, and so I need you to be on that game today, because every week I be trying to regurgitate what this woman of God said, and I can't bring it back up. And it seems like I can't make time to listen to replay. But, Sister Roberta, you taught me that. I got mad at you for that lesson. I didn't like it when you said it then. And now I've learned that that's truth. But when you first taught me that, I didn't want to hear that. When she taught me about the wilderness experience being a place that you get quiet and intimate with God, but in my going forward, I have learned that that's truth. But it's not a great experience. It's not a pretty sight to see, but it is an awesome experience on the back end when you see the benefits of that action. Awesome. Thank you, Sister Roberta. Pastor Chris, what you got to say?
Oh, Lord Jesus. See, y'all should have just passed the mic. Yeah, y'all should have passed the mic, because I am lit today. When we go through our wilderness experience, it's an intimate time and understanding who we are in God's eye. See,
mm-hmm.
we make so much emotional attachment to the people that are close to us, and sometimes they shake us off our game. Even if
Come
we
on.
Go to our homes, where it's supposed to be peace, no strife, none of that stuff, it seems that you cannot find your secret place. Uh-oh, I'm getting started already. See, sometimes when it comes to being in your wilderness experience, you have to strip yourself. Uh-oh, I'm a hashtag that. Strip yourself. See, we have to understand that we can't just do the form and fashion. Uh-oh. We can't
mm-hmm.
just do church as usual anymore.
No.
The
mm-hmm.
shift has already happened. 2021 mm-hmm. is almost over, and we're still picking up our old wineskin. Uh-oh.
Come on. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
We don't understand that in the 2022 season, God is restoring his relationship with his people. See,
on,
y'all
yeah.
should have passed the mic off of me today because I'm on fire. And if Hot Sauce gets a hold of this, we may not have a show. But see, I'm going to go ahead and continue because I'm feeling this thing because God's been working with me. He has worked my patience. He's worked my nerve. He's even worked the people that are close to me to try to get me to snap. See, y'all don't want to listen to this, but see, it's always the people that are close to you that want to pull out the old wineskin and then want to slap you upside the face with it and go, nah, 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 and then you ready to react. But see, this is where your relationship with God kicks in. Hashtag strip yourself. See, when you are going into the wilderness and you're being attacked by all fronts, one thing you can hold on to is your relationship with Christ. Yeah, I've been saying it since January 2021. I'm sick of Pastor Chris talking about this relationship stuff. I got religion. I got my title. I got my parking space. I got my front row seat with VIP treatment. But see, let me tell you something, baby. None of that stuff's mattering right now because you never stripped yourself from your own God, little G. See, we walking around with our own anointing and our own understanding. But what we have to understand is this. Until you have hashtag strip yourself, you will never be at a place of peace. You will never be at a place of power, and you will never be at a place where the wineskins can slap you upside your head and you can still walk in your authority and your purpose. You better take this mic before I go straight running. Back to you. I can.
Ooh, Pastor Chris, Pastor Chris. Ooh, we need to get the fire extinguisher. Ooh, my God, that's awesome, that's awesome. Because that's the purpose of the wilderness, so that you can have the relationship with God. You are my dwelling place. It's in you, Lord. So it's like you say, it's not right. It's not business as usual. We want our own. We clone ministry. We're cloning ministry. It's not that God has birthed a ministry in people today. They're cloning it. They're seeing what someone else do, and I can do it too. But they haven't been in that. They haven't gone to that drowning place, that relationship, to develop the ministry that God has birthed in them. So the only way that that ministry can be birthed out of you is that you go through the birthing pain. So in the wilderness is where the birth and pain begins.
Jesus.
You got to
How
get
the ministry
going again. Say that again. The ministry is birthed through the birth and pain in the wilderness.
Hashtag Roberta. Lord Jesus.
And that's
some things
that relationship.
Roberta, some things you say makes life plain and simple and clear. That right there, any woman who has ever had a labor pain just got clarity. Just got clarity. There's no more foggy area in ministry for that right there. That's what God sends to the body of Christ through you. He sends clarity through you. You are anointed to make things clear. And I pray one day you get on this radio show and tell a story. Because you will make people buy stuff. I love your storytelling. That is so clear. Hashtag Roberta Jones. Awesome. Awesome. I'm sorry. Please forgive me when I do that, but it's impactful. When you say something impactful, I think it needs to be stirred up a little bit. Because isn't you a cook? Isn't that how you get the flavors to blend, Sister Roberta, that you stir the ingredients that you put in the pot?
Yes, you have to.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, baby.
That's what minister, that's what Pastor Chris has been saying. That relationship, that stirring, the relationship is what stirs and mixes all that together. It's in the wilderness that is getting stirred up and mixed up. So that you can make a meal or make a cake or make a pie, so that you can actually, after the wilderness experience, you actually begin to see what you went through in the wilderness, because it's made and formed in you. You come out a better person. You come out, you know, when people say, "Wow, how did you get through this?" In the wilderness, the relationship, getting to know who I, and in the wilderness you get to know who you are, and you really get to know who God is. Because it's in that. Because so often we think that we have arrived and we've made it. Because God shows in the wilderness the thing that a person can bump you, and you take it. Oh my God, they broke my arm. No, that was just a bump. But because you were so weak in your relationship with God, it felt like a broken arm. God said, "Wait a minute, this shouldn't affect you like that." If you had the right relationship with me, this wouldn't have affected you. You'd have begin to praise God in the midst of the bump. But instead, you get to holler, "Oh God, help me! Oh Lord, this hurts so bad. I'm about to die."
Oh Jesus, we gonna die. Oh, that's
you know what? Also, in that wilderness experience, I like what you said, that's where the ministry is birthed in us, and your wilderness experience is different than mine. Your test is different than mine. So your testimony is different than mine. So God places us in the wilderness where we, like she said, just to expound on that, we can get to know who he is, who he really is. And then once we get to know him, we find out who we are in him. You know why? Because ministry is birth. I love the way she put that, because so many times, you know, we piggyback on somebody else's stuff. That was not your wilderness experience. That's not what God set you apart in order to teach you. That's not what he gave you. You have to go on what God gave you. So, and that's where she mentioned the cloning comes in. We want to be a replicate of someone else. That's not what God has called us for. We are unique. We are all unique. We're individuals. Our fingerprints are different. Everything is different because God set you apart, made you different, because he had a different ministry, a different path for you to take. And I think so many times as Christians, going back to what you said about the haters, you know, the people that are looking at you saying this and that, you have no idea what it took for me to get here. So don't look at what it is right now. Don't look at that. Because if you went down, go back in my past and you see what I had to go through to get here, you wouldn't want to be me right now, because you probably, well, I'm not going to say probably, you couldn't have gone through what I had to go through. Which is so important, the dwelling time, the abiding time, the sit your butt down and listen to God time is so important. Quit trying to be like the person on the left and the right. It's all about sitting still, observing and eating and applying what God gives you, and then you go on your path with God, you and God alone. It's not about everybody else. It's not about what it looks like. It's not about what it feels like. But it's about being where God wants you to be. In the wilderness, stay there, because in the wilderness is where you grow. So when she gave the analogy of the birthing, you know, a child is where? In the womb alone, unless they got a twin up in there. But even then, they're in a different sack. You're in the wilderness in the sack, because that is the time for you to grow. Get the nourishment that you need. You get the water that you need. And in the spiritual realm, you get the word and the communion that you need, mm-hmm. not will, but need,
mm-hmm.
because God
mm-hmm.
knows what we need to keep us going.
Mm-hmm.
So stay in the wilderness. When it's your season of wilderness, stay there.
You said something, Sister Tree, that pricked something in me when you talked about eating. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm. Oh
my God. Some of us have not developed because our diets are poor. We're malnutrition. So in that time of wilderness, we've gone to the wrong places to be replenished. So we come
mm-hmm.
back. We come back full of hell because we didn't go spend that time with God.
Mm.
And the birthing pains, we got mad because we had a stomach ache, but that's contraction. You feel it mostly in your stomach and your back. So we get mad when the contractions start. But we study saying this, I want to give birth to the things of God. He said, okay, let me take you in the wilderness and start your contractions. I don't want contractions. I don't want contractions. I don't want after birth. I don't want my water to break. Because that stuff
you
is
say, God, quit playing. God,
go ahead,
quit playing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't want that stuff. I just want to have a baby. Oh, really? So you want a C-section. Wait a minute, we got something else. Oh, you want me to cut you? Oh, God, no. Don't cut me. That would hurt. How you going to have this baby? Out your eyeball? There we go. You pricked that. Girl.
That
we're ready to read
on
if y'all got something else.
Go ahead. I have something. I say like some of the saints say, this is a long, long time ago, because they don't want you to know that they're still in the flesh, so they put it on a long time ago. I remember I'm deep and spiritual. I'm where I know where I'm supposed to be spiritual. And God just told me something, and I'm like, God, Lord, why you didn't tell me this? You know, back in the day when I was weak, he said, this is clear. He said, I have so much to tell you, but you ain't ready.
Ooh, my.
We think ready. We not ready.
Yeah.
When I got in that wilderness state, I saw just how much I wasn't ready.
Wow. Because
you come out kicking and hollering, you know, and sometimes in giving, you know, you in giving birth, you hear women screaming and hollering like that's
mm-hmm.
a change. You know, the more they scream and holler, you know, it doesn't stop. Really, it makes the nurses and the doctors not even want to come and attend to you.
And you tie your service. You tie
that's
your
true.
Service.
That's
so you forget your birth.
Yeah, and you screaming and hollering, you know, and God say, okay, I ain't coming in the room. Till you settle down.
You better preach.
You know what? Till you settle down. I'm not coming in the room till you settle down. When you settle down where you can hear me, because, you know, you're going to give birth. You know,
yeah,
you
go do that.
Quiet. You're going to do that. You can give it in a quiet, but the pain going to remain the same. Whether you holler or whether you grip and just sit there and take. But the pain going to remain. It going to remain. It's coming. So what? In that relationship part that Pastor Chris talks about that I love is that when you get there, it's staying there. See, he put us in that spot, but like Teresa was saying also, it's staying there till you get your ass. It's staying there until the person comes. And see the more the intense the pain is, meaning that the deliverer is near.
Yes, it does. The harder it gets.
The harder it gets, the deliverer is near.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be like, God,
almost
I can't take this. I can't. And you know, you said, I can't take it. No. And the doctor say, no, you got one more push. After this is over, one more.
Yep.
And that's what God is saying. When you say, I can't take this.
Come on.
One more push. One more push.
One more push.
Roberta, don't forget that part we say. Don't forget that part we say. I ain't never having another baby. I hate that every day.
Oh, jeez.
But and he say he just listened to us. Okay, he'll say like tonight. I see you next year.
Yep. Doctor Joe will see that.
He'll say I see you next year. So even the, you know, that's why he say the invisible things are clearly the visible things are clearly mm-hmm. seen by the invisible. So yes. The spiritual things are clearly seen by the natural things.
Yeah.
So what we do, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen because why? God is trying to birth something to you. He's trying to get something to you, but I can't give it to you because you got this here. I got to remove this. Whatever it is, I got to remove this so that when I give you what you need, you won't contaminate it or destroy it.
There you go,
Tree.
Oh. There you go,
That's good.
Come on here,
Tracy.
Come on here, hashtag. Wait, Pastor Chris. So, Roberta, if God give me what I'm asking him for, and I got my hands infected, so when I reach and get it out, reach it and get it, I just contaminated what God gave me.
Come on now.
Okay, Pastor Chris, I can't fool with her today. She got flour on her hands. I think she got cupcakes on the table. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, well, I got a few hashtags to put a little bit more seasoning in the pot. See, hashtag Chef Roberta. Why? Because she is stirring up something that people that are listening or even watching online is having some premature labor pains. Uh-oh. Hashtag Chef Roberta. See, we always have this thing as believers that we are always mad because we have haters in our wilderness experience, but I'm here to tell you, hashtag haters, haterade is your Gatorade. And when you go through the wilderness experience and you're experiencing a threshing floor experience, being stripped all the way down to the bone, hashtag again, strip yourself. But see, we have a problem always wanting to be counterfeit and take someone else's anointing. So we got to hashtag that, hashtag counterfeit anointing. And when you understand that that anointing is not working for you in your wilderness experience because you're trying to be Bishop Two-Foot or you're trying to be First Lady Evans, you have to walk, hashtag walk in your identity. Why? Because God gave us all the power to do what we are called to do. We get so intimidated by our haters that we don't even want to walk in our own identity. Hashtag walk in your identity. Why? Because when you know who you are, when you have the right ingredients, and when you know that stew is about to come out that oven and you get that taste, you're going to know that your haterade will be your Gatorade. And you know when it goes down your esophagus into your stomach, it strips you from all the counterfeit nonsense that you inherited over the years just because you had so much religion and no relationship. Let me drop this mic because I'm about to take this thing clean off. So y'all better take it from me right now.
Oh,
back to you.
That's it right there. So we were mimicking others instead of having our own. And now we've gotten to a place where those that we were mimicking have shut down. But we shut down. We can't move forward because they haven't moved forward. Is that what we've done?
If you're mimicking others and they shut down, that was your resource.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So if your resource, you don't have no resource, you don't have anything. So God
you
is
come
our
to the
resource.
End of
it. Right. So when we the ministry comes from God, and His source never runs out. So it won't. If
Amen.
You ministry according to the word of God, what He has given you, like Pastor Chris says, what He has given you.
Right.
You know, and He says, teach them as I've taught you. So you know that's why I, you know, when I minister, I like to minister through the power of God with what He's taught me, because if
right.
I'm teaching what He taught you, I don't know it yet.
That's true.
Because He hasn't taught it.
Could you say that again? If you teach,
if I minister on what He taught you, I'm not ministering because I don't know it yet. But as I minister on what He's taught me, He says, teach them as I've taught you. I can't
that's
teach
good.
What I don't know. So
that's good, sister.
And that's how you get, that's how you, the relationship that you have with God is what He gives to you. And He said, give it as I give it to you.
That way
ministry.
Is effective. That's good. I like the way you put that. I like the way you put that, because not only did we tell people not to mimic others, we've just explained to them why they shouldn't. Now, if they go after it now, that's on them. But it's been explained, because you're going to run out. And you can't teach what you haven't been taught. Good talk. Thou turn man, we on the third verse, people. Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return ye children of men. I'm trying my best to get to the 12th verse, because that right there is an awesome verse to me. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as sheep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. You know, we talked about that grass on last week and how we don't have to be concerned about people that we think that are successful. We don't have to be jealous of them or concerned about what they're doing, because if they haven't gotten it the way you just spoke, Sister Roberta, if they haven't gotten it from God, it's going to run out anyway. So you really chasing a dead horse. He's not going to be able to give you a ride, because he ain't going nowhere. Anybody got something on that before I move forward to 7?
Go ahead.
For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquity before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And that is some of that thing that we gain in the wilderness. Our sins are exposed, and we get the opportunity to deal with it. And that is a favor from God. How many times have we hidden things? And we hid them so long, we forgot where we put them. But God is saying, I'm gonna bring this out. I'm going to bring this out. I'm going to put it on the table, because you need to deal with this. Because we're all trying to get to him. And these are things that separate us. Did I see this right? These iniquities? These are things that we hide in our heart. These are what we call secrets. Anybody want to speak about them secret iniquities in our heart?
Oh, yeah. Well... I'm gonna try to be nice, but like I said, I can't be nice. See, when we have things that have been stirred up, now what we like to do, we have our foundation. For all you ladies that know what that is, you have a foundation that you put on before you put on the makeup, right? So when we are walking in this thing called relationship with God, not religion, see, what happens is we are always putting that foundation over our face. And when we understand that something in our life, and when we're pushed into our wilderness experience, what happens to that foundation? It starts to crack. or it starts to melt away. Why? Because what's in you is coming out of you. See, we like to bury our iniquities. We like to bury who we used to be. We like to put all that foundation on top of it until we get to a place where God is totally stripping us. Uh-oh. See, we don't want to be stripped. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to be embarrassed. Uh-oh. Because I hold a position in my church. So I can't be embarrassed because I still got something on the inside of me. Well, in this particular passage of scripture, that's what he wants from us. Why are we always faking the funk on a nasty dunk? I don't understand it. Because in the scriptures, it says, for all of our faults and flaws are in full view to you. Uh-oh. So what does that mean? Well, you already know how nasty you are. You already know your attitude stinks. You already know that your heart is so black, but you say you love everybody.
Hello.
See, everything we want to hide, he will search it out and expose it by the radiance of your face. See, we can't put enough foundation over our face or over our heart. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost will expose you. See, we can try to be all perfect all we want to, ladies, but see, the problem is God will always expose you when you are in your wilderness experience. So let's stop being counterfeit, taking somebody else's anointing, somebody else's flow, somebody else's church hat, somebody else's red bottom or gaiters. We need to work and walk in your identity. Hashtag walk in your ID. Why? Because we are banished to live in the shadow of your anger. And we get so mad and upset because Chef Roberta got an anointing. And I'm mad because I can't preach like her. Or I'm mad because Sister Tracy be throwing that hot sauce in the pot and she put the spice. And then I'm mad at the drill sergeant because she coming at me sideways. Well, the problem is, we got to have some tough skin. We've gotten so soft in our walk with God that when somebody is correcting you, it's correction in love. Uh-oh. They don't want to hear that. See, we're so busy. Oh, we want to praise what you look like. We want to honor how you are, but we don't want to tell each other, look, Pastor Chris, you tripping. What's wrong with you, sir? Why are you going left? I don't understand it, but I love you enough to tell you where you are. I think you need to go back to your secret place. But what we do, ladies, we throw that foundation on our face and we act as if everything is hunky-dory and okay. But I got news for you. God will not work thing inside of you unless you remove the foundation. Hashtag remove that foundation. Like, look, y'all better take this mic. Back to you. I can't.
Throw some hot sauce on him, Tree. Throw some hot sauce on him. Tree, you got anything you want to add to the hidden iniquities that we hide in our heart, but in God's eyesight, he's just like looking through a clear glass, and also the hidden secret sins that we carry that we don't like to deal with. You want to add anything before we move?
Well, I love Pastor Chris, his whole commentary there was amazing. You know, I love the analogy he used because we as Christians try to put makeup on top of what's really going on inside of us, you know, but God sees, and if you are a person who walks with God and spends time with God, you also see.
Yeah.
Now,
it's up to you.
It's up to you to decide, you know, to go to God and say, God, okay, I see my sister, I see my brother, and I see what's going on, and I don't want to move out of flesh. I want to move, I want you to move in me and through me, so I want to speak to them on this thing that you have shown me, you know, in the spirit about them, and you go into that person in love, not chastisement. Not, you know, you're not God, so you can't correct them, but you go into them saying, hey, I see it, and I just want you to know I'm here for you. If you need someone to talk to, as a matter of fact, let me pray with you right now. And you pray with that person to help them, because sometimes that's just what they need, just that person to say, hey, I understand, I've been there. You know, I know what it's like to go up and sing praise and worship every Sunday, and everybody laid out in the word, and on Saturday night I done all the stuff I wasn't supposed to do. I know what that's like to hide that stuff. I know what that's like to make it look like it's something that it's not. You know, so going to that person as a sister or a brother and saying, I got you. You don't have to do this by yourself. Help, let me help you get through this. Because like you said, God sees it. The word shows you can't hide that from him. And again, that woman and that man of God that spends time and labors with him, they see it too. And it's all in how you choose to address it. But the biggest thing is addressing in love, because people need someone to lean on. I want to bring something that was told to me this week. A young woman who is a praise and worship leader out of state, and she went to her, not to the pastor, but someone who is a minister high up in service, and let him know, hey, I need you to pray with me. I need you to help me. I'm going through something. She was battling, she has a boyfriend, and she was battling having sex, and she was going up singing praise and worship or whatever, and she told this person, a woman, and asking for help. And this person went to the pastor and the first lady and other people in the church and told them, well, she's up there singing praise and worship, ushering people into the presence of God, and yet she's sleeping with somebody on the side. And they sit her down. And when they sit her down, she tried to commit suicide. And she tried to commit suicide because she felt like she had failed God. She felt like she went to someone where she was trying to get help, and that person failed her. Because it wasn't about blasting my sins out to everyone. I came to you for help. You know, so again, it's all in how we deal with this as Christians. You know, do we do it in love? You know, what is our motive? What are we doing? How are we helping people to get past what they're going through with their iniquities and their sins? Because we're not the judge and jury. So, you know, was that something that could have been dealt with differently for a different outcome? You know, so that's just an example I wanted to give about the hidden iniquities, you know, and how we deal with them in the body of Christ.
Sister Roberta, you got anything on the hidden sins and iniquity, the stuff that we hide and don't want to deal with, sis?
Well, you know, the hidden iniquity is worse than the open sin, because it's hidden. It's on the inside. And see, so often we think, because people don't see it, we're all right. We're okay because they don't see it. But that hidden iniquity goes even deeper because it comes from the heart.
Yes.
You know, the heart is where everything flows. That's where the relationship and everything, it flows. And one of the things that some, you know, as believers, you know, people are going through at church and in out of church, we're talking about believers now, and the things that we, as seasoned saints, we don't have to know what the sin is, because you can pick it up. See, sin stinks. Sin has an odor. It smells, and because it smells, when you when you walk up to a person, can't you smell fragrance, perfume, or whatever? Now you also can smell sin. So what do you do when you smell that sin? Where do you go? You go to the one that can deal with the sin. You don't even go to the person. Because sometimes people want out but don't know how to get out.
Yeah.
But you go to the one that can help them out. But so you what you start doing?
Do you realize what you said, Chef? You can smell sin. God help
you
us today. See, if I don't see nothing on Facebook, you fired. I'm saying that out loud. This girl just said, you smell sin, and you don't tell the person they stink. That's my interpretation. You don't say you stink. No, you go to the one that can give them a bath. Jesus.
Because they can't. You go to one. See, one of the things you do, until a person's eyes is open, they can't see. So you go to the one that can open the eyes, which is God. Lord, my sister's in trouble. My brother's in trouble. And when you do that, what happens? God comes to their rescue. And then you'll hear testimony later on and say, you know, I used to do such and such a thing. And then you rejoice. See, you rejoice. In experiencing this, like Pastor Kid's relationship with God brings you to this type of thing, because there was this couple, they both was married, and I was working, and every day being at work, that you'll see them always at break and stuff together, and I said, oh, Lord. I said, okay, Lord, you're the only one can take care of this. So I began to that's all I started doing, praying. I ain't said a word to neither one of them. And next thing you know, he came. You know, I've been messing up. I said, really?
Forget your mama.
He said, really? And you know what happened? The relationship it just burst up. That was it.
Yeah.
They stopped. Why? Because you go to the one that can do something about it. I could have went to them. They couldn't do nothing about it. Why? Because they was in sin. They couldn't do it. And when you see that on people, that smell that on people, you don't have to tell nobody. Nobody, they can't do nothing about it anyway. And see, that's what you know, people in the body of Christ need to know. When you're having problems, just because a person is like Pastor Chris say, they on the front, they on the they don't pay for their promotion in the church. Don't mean they're anointed. Don't mean God has placed it there, but because they paid for it, and you think they're spiritual, you think they're deep and they're spiritual because of where they sit and what title they hold.
Oh, see,
but
Stand still and see the salvation. Help him out, bro. I'm going to bear witness to what Roberta said. I'm going to bear witness.
Oh,
I was riding down Genesee Street in Saginaw, Michigan one day, and the Holy Spirit of God revealed to me that my deliverance came, one, because he gave her the assignment to pray for me. And he shared with me that there were days when I was in my foolishness that she was on her face to him. So people think that I blow smoke at Roberta, but I don't. I know who she is. And I know who she was placed in my life for. So I went to her house that day. I bust in her house. I was very rude. Let me apologize, Sister Roberta. I'm sorry. But that day I was rude. I bust in her house, and I started to tell her what she did. And she went to open my mouth. I said, shut up. I ain't asked you to speak. I'm going to tell you what he told me. And I wasn't rude to be rude. I was full, because that's when I learned, when God gives you an assignment, how effective that assignment can be, you know, for you to pray for somebody diligently and watch the manifestation privately. I didn't know about that life. I knew about being verbal. I knew about being in somebody's face. You know better than this. You did. I knew that. I didn't know the minister shut your big mouth and pray. I didn't know that until God taught me that with my own foolishness.
So she does, she did that in my life. So that's truth. And she shared that story with me as well. And I'm sure that Sister Tracy got some stories about her mother's prayer life as well. But Sister Tracy, Pastor Chris' stomach hurts. So if you can hold your story, we're going to let him talk. Jesus. Go ahead, Chris, Pastor Chris.
Oh, why do we need validation? Why? And I wanted to co-sign on what Chef said in regards to smelling the sin or the stench. See, we always want to have some validation in some, not all, some of our churches. And why do we need validation? Well, sometimes we want to be important. Sometimes we are stinking so bad that just because I'm on my VIP seating and I get to introduce the pastor and eat with kings and queen, eat with the pastor and first lady after church, and we can go to the high dollar restaurant and don't tip the waiter. So we want to always pay it forward. Hashtag pay it forward. So we want to not only counterfeit our anointing, try to preach like so-and-so, try to dress like so-and-so, try to speak and articulate and break down the word like so-and-so, instead of being confident in your own. We want to always spray on the Febreze so people can't smell the anointing coming off of you. But I'm sorry, I got news for you. Your funk in the spirit is contagious, and you can knock the whole room clean out. Why? Because God has so much stink on you that I don't care how much you try to cover it up, you're going to always smell of the anointing of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about funk and not washing your body. I'm talking about the aroma and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Okay, y'all better take this. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Hot Sauce. I didn't mean to take the bottle, but I had to get that out. So I'm going to be quiet now before we have a fire in this kitchen. So back to you.
Sister Treat, before we move on to
these
last three scriptures, was it anything you wanted to say about your mother's prayer life?
So y'all know I told y'all she's Jesus' first cousin, right? I told y'all that.
Yeah, we know.
It's so funny because I remember as a child, I always wanted to do stuff that everyone else did. And I thought I was secretly doing stuff, getting away with it. And I would walk in the house, and the Holy Ghost done told on me before I got home. So she would tell me exactly what I did. And I'm like, God, why are you always snitching? Like, you ain't gotta tell her.
Treat, did you go through and that thing so, where you thought somebody was telling her before you learned it was God's thought?
I knew it was God. I knew it was God because I knew who my mother was in God.
Okay.
I knew who she was in Christ.
Okay.
She lived that before us. So she's the same mother who would say, let's get in the living room and let's pray for someone, and then we would see the manifestation of our prayers taking place outside the home for other people. So I knew who she was. I just thought I was, you know, slick. You know, the enemy get in your ear, you think you're slick, you think you're going to do something to get away with it. And it's so funny now, because now my adult children, well, even when they were teenagers, they were like, dang, how does she know? I turned into my mother, the person where God would sit. I'd be sitting at home, and God would tell me what was going on. So I know who she is in Christ. She's a bad girl.
Amen. Amen. She is. She came to the service on last Sunday, and I had a desire before I left Michigan. I wanted to hug her. And you know how you be crunched for time and you got a spouse that's saying, baby, come on, get some shoes. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So I was crunched for time. And she called me. She'd say, asked me what was I doing. And I told her I was getting ready to leave. And she said, okay, well, have a safe trip. I said, but I really wanted to hug you before I left. And I said, you know what? I'm hugging you before I leave. So I went by her house to hug her. And she didn't say anything to me. I went on to Detroit. And you know how close Detroit is to Saginaw. And I got a room, and I text her, and I say, I got a room. I'm tired. She said, I'm so glad you got a room. She said, because I knew you were tired. And so she's one of those people that she don't always tell you what she wants from you. She pray you through it. And then she gets the manifestation. And then she be standing there with that old smirk on her face, act like she don't know how you got there. Knowing all the time, she just talks to Jesus about your whole situation. And Detroit tree, I didn't get to Ohio, Detroit, in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the woman that I know, that's the woman she is. And that's why whenever I'm able to be at her feet, I find myself there. And I'm kind of selfish. I give it up. I'm selfish. I don't like nobody to be there with me a lot of time. I like to get mine by myself. So maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but that's what I like. I like to glean from her field because I see a lot of empty spaces in my field. I got a lot of barren areas in my field. I haven't quite learned how to love on my enemies, like the Bible say love on them, but I see her doing it. So I glean from her. And I believe we all do. If we have common sense, we glean from her. And I thank God for her. Mm-hmm. Sister Roberta, I'm going to read these three scriptures. I'm going to ask Pastor Chris to play us one of them on good songs. And then we're going to come back. And verse 12 is what we're going to go home on. The scriptures that I'm reading is starting at, 8, 9, I'm sorry. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spent our years as a tale that is told. That pricked me, but I'm going to go on. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is thy strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 11, and Pastor Chris, you get that song burning. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. When we come back, I'm going to share verse 12. I'm going to do our housekeeping. And verse 12 is what we're going to dance out of here with, Pastor Chris.
It's your girl, Psalmist Jones, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Whoa. Welcome, me family. Let's go.
never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. It is the Spin Award nominated Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPB Radio.
All right. We'll do our housekeeping first and get that out of the way. Pastor Chris, did you have a lot of comments on virtual that you needed to share?
Yeah, we have a couple. Shout out to Michelle Roach. She has just been co-signing on everything we've been saying. Between the fact of you telling me to be quiet, to me going ham and cheese, she hashtagged take it off, and then we had another individual by the name of Blanche Dingle. She said, what a powerful discussion. Sadly, she had to leave. Blessings and peace to you all. And we had another comment by Miss Michelle Roach. Beautiful song that we just played on our halftime. So that's the comments going on online. So back to you.
Okay, we want to recognize and celebrate our faithful listeners, Sister Alice Fields, and also Sister Eartha Lee Aaron, her caretakers, Edna Moore and Jeanette Pontoon. Also, Sister Dorothy Curry, her three caretakers, Sister Shirley Allen, Lucille Priester, and Sharon Priester as well, her granddaughter. And also, last but not least, Sister Ella Priester, her two caretakers, Josie Priester, and Leola Collier. God bless you all. Thank you for being faithful listeners to the buffet. Callers do we have any callers on today, Pastor Chris, that we need to...
Oh, yes, we do have one caller that is on the line. So, caller, we will call the last four digits of your phone number. So, coming up, 7122, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Pontoon. I enjoy it so far, and I'm just listening.
All right. Thank you, Sister Jeanette, for being a part of the buffet every Saturday. God bless you. Okay, the last scripture that we have that we want to share on today, and I believe that this scripture is so power-packed that we can go home on this one. The 12th verse of the 90th Psalm, and we'll probably come back and finish this on next week unless we have time left after we expound upon this scripture. It says, so teach us, and we'll go right into 91, because 91 is just as good as well, guys. So the scripture says, so
Drill
teach.
Sergeant?
I didn't hear.
Sorry. Another caller just popped on. Do you want us to take it?
Give it to us, please. Go ahead.
All right. All right, caller. 6219, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to call in. You can always put comments in, but it's always I want to call in and thank you, ladies. Every Saturday, you give out a great brunch. I mean, a whole lot of hot sauce that we can take away from. You know, sometimes you join and you're not able to, or they didn't touch your heart enough that you want to share those tidbits with somebody else. But I just wanted to call in and say thank you. Thank you very much for what you do, sharing God's word and touching lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you for being a person that will call and share that, because a lot of times we don't get the feedback that people have in their hearts and they don't verbalize it. And we thank you for calling in and sharing that we're able to say something that benefits you. God bless you, sis.
Oh, thank you so much.
Amen. Okay.
God bless you.
Okay, that scripture says, so teach us. You didn't say you had another caller, right, sir?
No, you're good.
Okay. So it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the first time I heard that scripture, to know I was listening to it. I was at a funeral, and the man of God got up, and that was his scripture that he preached from for the homegoing of a brother. And
wow.
When I heard that scripture, and I really heard it, it really began to bless my heart, because a lot of people are wise in their own status, you know, wise as far as they done read some books, or wise as far as they know how to connect the dots, wise as far as they experienced some things in life and life has taught them some things, but they still have not gained the wisdom that's going to give them insight into the things of God. It hasn't given them insight into the fact that they need to go to God in that final hour with a clear conscience, with a heart that's pure, with a heart that has been dealt with by the Holy Ghost. So I was so grateful that day that I heard God's word let me know clearly that I had some work to do on Lorraine. So I'm not gonna be the only one that enjoyed this scripture. I'm gonna start with you, Sister Tree. You were at the same service where the man of God preached this text. I don't know if you remember it or not, but you were there as well. What do you have on Psalms 90, verse 12, Sister Tree?
So when I look at this this particular scripture and ponder on it, I get that it's basically saying, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I believe mm-hmm. that it's saying looking over the course of my life
mm-hmm.
and as it pertains to my entire life and my purpose for being, to help me to gain a heart of wisdom, that God would, you know, look at his people and his people would reckon their own days of their lives, and that they would kind of take a grip or take hold of the true cause for living. What is my purpose? Mm. Why am I here?
Mm.
It's not about just getting up every day, going to work, checking the box, the cat paying bills. I said hi to this neighbor. I petted the dog. It's not that. It's about what is my purpose on this course,
okay.
on this journey? Why am I here? And teach us to number our days, meaning I know that I'm here for a purpose, so let it have worth and let it have value. And then, Lord, help me to gain your wisdom, your understanding, so that I can grow in the knowledge of you. Another part, too, is the part where it talks about the wisdom part. I believe it's saying asking God for the type of wisdom that goes to the core of who you are. The heart is the core. So that type of wisdom that comes from deep within the core of who
mm-hmm.
you are.
Because you've seen smart people on that job you work on. You work with brilliant people as far as education is concerned. But then when they open their mouth concerning the things of God, I'm getting ready to say something here, Keith. I want you to listen real close. They said 2 Corinthians. Hello. You know who said that, right?
I'm not messing with you today.
But you know what I'm saying? You know they real bright people, and then they start trying to talk about the things of God. You know how they mishandle the things of God. They're trying to be deep.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
I'm with you on that. Pastor Chris, I'm gonna let you go before I turn the chef loose, because after she get done, we might have to shut the show down.
Now, this is a very favorite passage of scripture when you're doing funerals. But I have a little different spin on this. See,
I'm sure
he gives us the instruction. We know that our days are numbered, right? We know that. And he helps us to interpret our lives correctly. So again, how do we do that? Well, we have to have relationship with the Father. One, we need to put our religion on the shelf. Two, so then what happens? Set your wisdom deeply in our hearts so that we may accept correction. That is the biggest, that's the last sentence in this verse that we don't really break down. See, even the scripture before this, who fully knows the power of your passion and the intensity of your emotions? Now, that scripture talked to me because I go ham and cheese any chance I get. See, I understand what God has done for me relationally. And I fully am aware that he knows the power of the passion and the intensity that I bring. So what happens? I have to get out the way in order for those passions and intensities to be effective to anyone that's listening, right? So when we speak about verse 12, we want to always look at the negative. Oh, help us remember that our days are numbered and help us to interpret our lives correctly. But if we never set our heart, our mind into the wisdom of who he is, it will be embedded deeply in our hearts so we may accept godly counsel, correction. Anybody that comes in our lives, we won't be feeling some kind of way or upset because Chef put a little bit of pepper in the pot. See, y'all don't want to get me started. I told you this morning I need to slow down. I got another show later on. But I just wanted to throw that out there because we always use that scripture for the bad things, but we don't really look at the whole picture. So stop being counterfeit. Why do we always have to be counterfeit? Why do we always have to have haterade instead of using the hate for Gatorade? And I'm a hashtag Chef Roberta Jones because she's about to knock this thing clean off. So this is Pastor Newton. Me and the band are ready, so I'm done. Chef Roberta.
Before you go, Roberta, I had a reference scripture that came from 90, and I want to share that because I believe you can make this season work in this time. It says, Lord, it's Psalm 39, verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. I believe you're going to make that season work in this path. Let's eat, sister.
Ooh, my God. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Did you want
God,
me to read that again, sis?
No. Go ahead. And I'm like Pastor Chris, I'm taking the spin that he's taking as well in this verse. You know, we in this reading this whole chapter, and when he says that if you go up further, it tells about their iniquities and their sin and the wrath of God and how he's, in other words, God looking up on us, he can see everything, our iniquities, our sin, and everything. And with him knowing all that, the secret sins that he brings light to, and he says that he gives us 70 years, and some live even longer than 70. And what that verse is saying, teach me to know that, Lord, you know all this about me, and yet you have mercy on me. And I should be doomed to hell or whatever, but because of his grace and his mercy that he has, and that he still loves me. Teach me to number my days. In other words, teach me how to live like you live, like you treat me to others. that we're supposed to be growing, not so much in teach me to number my days on the earth, as much as teach me how to live, to have the relationship with you that I should have, to be able to encounter these days. And then he said that, in other words, he's saying that, David is saying that, I want my relationship to be with you and satisfy you, not so much of him, but to satisfy, that God would be pleased and that he would repent. He will repent as a servant of God and walk with God, because God know all this about him and still love him and still give him the things that he gives him, that he want us to also demonstrate that same love to others that's mistreating us, like we're mistreating God, and he still remains faithful and loving. Teach me how to do this in my life, the amount of days that I have, the time that I have mercy and rejoice, and my days will be glad. Because most of our days are sad because of how we feel we've been mistreated. Someone is treating us. How we feel we deserve so much better. That's most of the time, that's what makes us sad. Because I think Pastor Chris said it earlier, because we need to be validated. Instead of get to the place, it don't matter what you say about me or what you think about me, is what I do for Christ that's going to last. The main thing is what God, what he's saying, what he feels about me. And I believe that's what this passion is really talking about, that I get to the place that it don't even matter. Just let me, the days that I have, let me walk with you, that you would rejoice in my walk, that you would be glad, that I would be that you would be happy. Because, see, if we get to the place that we practice, not live, but practice, I'm practice being good, it's still not, it's still as filthy rags in God's sight. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But when we learn how to live, turn our life to him and let him live through us, when we learn how to, when people mistreat us, begin to rejoice and say, Lord, thank you, then we're dying. That's that daily dying to ourselves. So we're so concerned about what I feel, what I want to do, what God trying to kill that I. He's trying to kill that I in us. And I believe that's what he said. Teach me. Teach me each day that I live, that I will live to glorify you, that we get to the place in our life that we'll say, as Paul said, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. And I believe that's what God is trying to do in all of us. To get us to that place that we're not moved by death or life. We're moved by living, letting Christ's life live through us. And I believe that's where God wants us to get to that place, that it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter whether you reject me, whether you accept me. I don't need to be validated by man, because my validation comes from God. Teach me that, God. Teach me. Doesn't matter how many days, because he had promised earlier that he said, you promised us 70, but some have lived even longer than the 70. So he's saying that, teach me how to number my days. And that if we get to that place that our relationship with Christ means more than anything else, the time we spend with him, what he tells us, and do it, be obedient, that's what it's all about. That's to teach us that he would live his life through us on earth. And we won't be so quick to leave earth. Lord, I'd be so glad to get to heaven. This will stop in heaven. But he's saying, no, teach me the number of my days, because it's not time for you to come to heaven. That's why I still have you on earth. So you got some work to do on earth. And that's all he's saying. Mm-hmm. Let me live through you. Let me live through you. Jesus' time on earth was to do the Father's will. He came for a purpose, to do the Father's will. We gave our life to Jesus to do the Father's will, that he would live his life through us. That is no longer us, but he's living through us. do sometimes we let the flesh ride? Mm-hmm. But he said, what he said mm-hmm. when it rises? Reminded that it's dead. Reminded, you know, you ain't gonna live on cloud nine. You're gonna come mm-hmm. to the valley. But in the valley, you know, remember that you've been crucified with Christ. In other words, your old man has to die, but the Spirit of God has to live. And that's, I believe that's what he was saying. Let the Spirit of God live. When the Spirit of God lives, your old flesh that died with Christ won't get up and begin to stink. Because when you dig things up from the earth that has been buried, it stinks.
Yeah.
God wants the fragrance of God to come out. And that's why he's the things that we're going through is because he's trying to get us to that place that his fragrance would come out in our lives, in our walk, in our talk, relationship with everybody, you know, because we're so on edge. Any little thing tickles, oh, I'm so angry. Anything, I mean, we're so on edge, you know, mental health, mental health, mental health. What about, it is, you know, I'm not saying that there's no mental health, but I'm
right.
saying we need to go back to Gethsemane, where he died for the mind. When he sweated as though drops of blood,
mm-hmm.
that was for the mental part of man, your thinking. So when he sweated as though drops of blood, that was your thought pattern covered with the blood. So your mind was covered as well as your body. So when we remind that, okay, Lord, you know this, and he'll show you things that are about to come, and you have to say, Lord, you've applied the blood on this. Because you did it, I don't have to deal with it now. And that's what I believe, that's what this scripture is talking about. Teach me these things. Teach me how to walk before you. Teach me how to let my light shine. Teach me that when I walk in the room and the atmosphere change. Why? Because I've been walking, talking, and obeying God till it changes the atmosphere when I walk in. When Jesus walked in, he didn't have to say anything. Why? The atmosphere would change. Why? Because of the lifestyle he lived. So God is saying, you know, I want you to live this type of life that you don't have, they don't have to hear me, but they can see me when you walk in. That's my take on the verse, that we would rejoice. When we rejoice in the things of God, he rejoices in them as well. He rejoices.
No, go ahead. I just said amen.
Yeah, that's my take on it. You know that he can rejoice in what we're doing because he knows, like Pastor, he knows the power of our passion. He knows it. He still knows who we are and still loves us and still corrects us, gives us the wisdom we need, and that's what we need, the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have the wisdom of God and obey the wisdom of God. Then the joy of God's going to come in our lives. And the power, the demonstration will come in our lives. And I believe that's what he was saying in this verse.
Amen.
That's my take on it.
Amen. It looks like we got enough time to go ahead and finish this. 13 says, return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servant. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And, you know, just touching that, if God's mercy doesn't make us glad, there's no glad button in us because just experiencing the mercies of God, man, I've utilized that mercy button a lot of times. We may go back to that. Let me finish this. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. And that's that wilderness experience where God afflicts us. And he's not afflicting us because he's mean. But it's like, take for example, all of our children have gotten a splinter in their finger or in their toe. Now, we have to inflict some pain in order to get that splinter out.
sometimes, depending on how much that child is willing to let you work on him, it takes us making even stab wounds because he jerked his finger and you end up sticking him with the penis. But everything we're doing at that point is to remove the object of defeat from their life. I like that. I like that. I said that, but I like that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That splinter will set up infection if it have its way. But that person with that safety pin that's inflicting pain on you is trying to keep that pin from making from completing the mission that they set out to do. And there's pain. So God will allow the wilderness so that he can get out of us what will infect us and ultimately take our life. I know somebody got something on that tree. That was good. Wasn't that good, Tree?
Amen.
Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty, this is the last scripture, and let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. So we can become beautiful after that affliction. Is that not what you were talking about earlier, Sister Roberta, when you talked about you like that wilderness experience because it makes a deposit?
Yes. The wilderness experience, it brings the miracles of God into manifestation in our lives. Then here comes the miracles in that wilderness experience. And that's what he wants us. He wants us to die so that he can pour with his mighty powers and miracles.
My God.
So, Tree, do you have anything on that that scripture about the afflictions and the beauty that comes from that, or anything else that I've read that you'd like to give your final take on?
No, Pastor Chris was groaning over there. You didn't hear
me? I know. You know what, Sister Roberta? When I turn him loose, I'm going to tell him to play a song, and we'll see him next week. I heard him. I heard him. So, Tree, you got anything you want before we let him loose?
No, I want to hear Pastor Chris. I'm ready for Pastor Chris.
Pastor Chris, you go ahead. Take as long as you want to. We have another 15 minutes. You do what you need to do, and we will play that song, and we'll see the people next week with Psalms 91.
Yeah. Okay. 13 through 17 is profound. See, again, we use some of the text, and we use it for the wrong reasons. Okay, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Chris? You're already starting mess already. Well, in verse 13, it says, "Return to us again, O God. How much longer will it take until you show us your abundant compassion?" Now, just for that, we're never going to see his abundant compassion if you got all that foundation on your face, or you got all that religion on you, or you got that stink on you. You're never going to understand or even know what abundant compassion truly is. But see, in verse 14, it kind of gives you some hints and some clues in 15. Let the sunrise of your love end our dark night. Now, whose love is he talking about? He's not talking about Pookie's. He's not talking about JJ's love, not even your spouse's love. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble with that one. But it says, let the sunrise of your love end our dark night. We were just talking about being in the wilderness, correct? In the wilderness is our dark nights. In the wilderness is where we seek refuge, where we seek God's presence, where we get our purging, where we get impregnated by who? The relationship and the love of Jesus Christ. So therefore, break through our clouded dawn again. We got that a lot. We like to throw our stuff and put it in front of God because some of us make those cloudy dawns. Uh-oh. Ooh, Pastor Chris starting mess again. Well, we always put ourselves in some uncompromising positions, but only you can satisfy our hearts, Lord. See, filling us with songs of joy to the end of our days. So then we start crying and getting all upset. But see, we got to look at the bigger picture here. It doesn't end when we die. I don't think y'all caught it. See, we can be filled with songs of joy all the way up until the end of our days. Well, how do we do that, Pastor Chris? It's got so much chaos going on. My life is all upside down. Well, we've been overwhelmed with the grief of COVID-19. We lost a lot of people, a lot of loved ones, so forth and so on. But there's still light at the end of the clouded day. He's been telling us this whole time through this whole text that I want to see your miracles again. God, I let the rising of generations see the glorious wonders of your, that's your famous for, not Bishop, not Pastor Chris, your. So to close this thing outright and put the icing on the cake, it says in verse 17, our Lord, our God, let your sweet beauty. Now, no disrespect intended. We do have some beautiful ladies on the panel, but however, it's not talking about that beauty. Uh-oh. It's talking about let your sweet beauty rest upon us. What is the text talking about? You can't experience sweet beauty without relationship. Uh-oh. See, come work with us, and then our works will endure, and you will give us success in all we do. So, I said all that to say this. Again, we will never know what true success is. We will never know what true love is. We will never know what true joy is. We will never know any of this stuff until you get your foundation off and ask God to give you his sweet beauty as we continue on in this life. We will never go to the next level. We will never experience the true power and passion and intensity of the relationship of God as he uses you as the vessel and cleans all that stuff out so your identity could be birthed through all of your wrath, all of your loss, all of your pain, all of Pookie and JJ talking about you, your church kicked you out the church, all the stuff that we've experienced in this last year. God wants us to rest on his sweet beauty. Stop worrying about everybody else. You worry about what God told you. And I guarantee you, when you worry about you and get your stuff together and you look in the mirror for yourself, you will see how much you stink. How ugly you truly are. How black your heart truly is. So when we are able to see how ugly we are, then God can do his work in us because he is the only one that's going to make our dark days bright. Uh-oh. He's the only one that's going to break through our clouded dawn days. He's the only one that's going to bring the sunshine in our pain. He's the only one that's going to restore what was lost. He's the only one that's going to take that black heart, wipe it off, give you a brand new one. Why? Ooh. Because you allowed him to take the nasty out of you and he replaced it with his sweet perfume, his sweet beauty, his everlasting love, his everlasting joy. So when you take that last breath, you will not feel that you never accomplished anything. You will know going that you will hear the words, good, my faithful servant. And I dropped the mic. I'm done. So if all hearts and minds, oh, wait a minute. We got a caller, ladies. We got a 7 minutes left. So caller, we're going to put you on the line, 8882. You are live on the air.
Wow.
God bless you.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that word. I caught the tail end of it, but I'm coming with a mission from God. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and I love what y'all are doing here. It's good. Y'all wake up every day and put this message out. But I got to say thank you because y'all are doing the real work of God. And most people want to be in church, but they can't go testify and tell somebody else. And I love what you're doing. Thank you. It's powerful.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being one of our listeners. We pray that you share the message about the buffet. And we're not trying to copy anybody or mimic anybody. We're trying to utilize the gift that God has placed inside of each one of us and cause it to blend. That's why we needed a chef on the show, because sometimes also, and I've done this literally, I've thrown some things in my pot, and then when I taste it, it'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, no, that's not rocket. Oh, no, that's got, oh, Roberta, I
wow.
put this in there. What can I do? And honey, sweet mama, she tell me, well, put
ahead.
This in there and stir that up.
Come on.
Okay. And put a little
Come
of that
on.
In there and stir that up.
Mm-hmm.
And taste it now. Yes, ma'am.
Ooh.
It's all right. So that's what we need. We need each other on the buffet in order for us, this blend, to come together and complement each other so that we can feed people like you, sir. That's our mission.
Oh, no.
I love
your man. Your man dropped the mic. He dropped the mic at perfect timing. At the end of the day, I support what y'all are doing. I am late what y'all are doing. But at the same time,
Amen.
There's so many people out there don't know. I got to wake them up.
Amen. Amen. Hey, stay woke and eat early, sir. God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Chris. We've exhausted all of the comments on the virtual as well. And that's the case. We'll get a song and we'll see you guys next Saturday on the buffet. And if the Lord don't change it, we'll be dealing with Psalms 91, and we'll be going back into that secret place. Amen?
Amen. Well, ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, the kitchen is closing, but we're going to go out with Triple O, It's Going to Be All Right. We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place. Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones and the sous chefs. Y'all can figure that out later. We love you. God bless you.
Remember A-Bird, 10 speed invested. Wind up when you pass the Becks and exit. Brexit, making man double get interested. Funds on low, so I'm canceling Netflix. love my baby girl. I love my baby girl and I'm a slave to the world. Hate being a depressed man with the pressures that were mounted. When would I ever rest? Clouds up my overhead, no food in the mind. I couldn't resell. Sickle genes are received in my blood type. Where there is life, there is hope. Where there is life, there is hope. The Lord is my shepherd, never shepherd with reverence. Never giving me more than I can bear. Like Leo with the reverend. And now I'm settling in my settlement as I keep singing that. Blows on a broken nose. I didn't know I'd be defeated by his girlfriend. His girlfriend, his bloody taxes. Why was I never told by his taxes? Fake friends, what's good for the axes? This daily battle with lust of using with taxes. I'm battling with the enemy and my enemy. Going hand in hand, like a synergy. Rumble in the jungle inside before man and God Ali. No negativity. Jacob in the mirror with a broken hip. Wrestling with a blessing with a tiny grip. I'm saving to my chest all day. Healing hearts for your fourth day.
It's like I'm drowning, the lights go down. I'm in a corner, there's no way out. I feel the hope, I feel the distance. I know you heard me, but will you listen? With all conviction, I hear one sound. You whispered to me that it's gonna be, it's gonna be, it's gonna be, it's gonna be A-okay.
Texas.